Let us now join together in a time of congregational prayer. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we come before you today as a congregation desiring to serve and worship you. We ask that you will bless this time of worship together. May you lift us up through the reading of your word and encourage us in our faith through the working of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we know that of ourselves we are weak and sinful, deserving of condemnation for our sins as well as those of our forefather Adam. Our hearts desire to do what is not pleasing to you. Lord, we are sorry for our sins, and so we seek forgiveness and reconciliation through Christ. We pray that we may be transformed through your word and strive more and more to image our Lord and Savior, our mediator and our deliverer, whose spilt blood and crucified body makes us worthy to come before you. Help us to realize what an amazing gift this is. Let it fill our hearts with thankfulness and a desire to serve you in everything that we do. Let our lives be a living sacrifice to you. Lord, we pray that you will provide us the strength to resist the devil and to seek you in your word, prayer, and through the sacraments. We ask that you will be with all those who are worshiping with us here today. May this service be a blessing to them. We also pray for those who could have been here but chose not to come. We pray that you will work in their hearts a desire to be in your house with fellow believers, singing and praising your name. Lord, we all fall short at times and do what is not right. And so we ask for your grace, and also that we may show grace towards one another. Lord, you have forgiven us so many times. Let us understand this, and so we also have a forgiving heart. Let us strive together as a body of believers to do this, leaning on each other in humility and in complete reliance on the grace that you have provided for us. We also pray that you'll be with those who are struggling with relationships. Work a heart of peace and reconciliation within them. Help us to forgive daily as you forgive us daily. Lord, be with those who are suffering from illnesses, whether physical or mental. Give them the hope and confidence in your providence and bless them with peace. Be also with Pastor Ewan and Debbie as they consider the call to Arthur. Bless them and encourage them as they go through this process. Lord, as we prepare to hear your word once more, we ask that you will keep Satan far from us as we worship. Let our minds be clear and focused on your teaching, and let our hearts receive these gifts joyfully. All of these things we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our head. Amen. As our text for this afternoon, we'll turn to 2 Peter 1, the first 15 verses. That's 2 Peter 1, first 15 verses. Hear the word of the Lord. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never fall. and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. So far, the scripture reading. In response, let's join together and sing Psalm 23. This afternoon, we will read the Word of God as the Church has summarized it together in Chapters 1, Articles 12 and 13 of the Canons of Dort. They are to be found on page 567 of the Book of Praise. Article 12, the assurance of election. The elect in due time, though in various stages and in different measure, are made certain of their eternal and unchangeable election to salvation. They attain this assurance, however, not by inquisitively prying into the hidden and deep things of God, but by observing in themselves, with spiritual joy and holy delight, the unfailing fruits of election pointed out in the Word of God, such as a true faith in Christ, a childlike fear of God, a godly sorrow for their sins, and a hunger and thirst for righteousness. Article 13, the value of this assurance. The awareness and assurance of this election provide the children of God with greater reason for daily humbling themselves before God, for adoring the depth of His mercies, for cleansing themselves, and for fervently loving Him in turn who first so greatly loved them. It is, therefore, not at all true that this doctrine of election and the reflection on it makes them lax in observing the commands of God or falsely secure. In the just judgment of God, this usually happens to those who rashly presume to have the grace of election or idly and boldly chatter about it, but refuse to walk in the ways of the elect. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, what are we to make of 2 Peter 1, verse 10? Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. What does that mean? At the time that Reverend DeHart preached this sermon, their church had been learning what the Bible has to say about election and predestination, making use of chapter 1 of the Canons of Dort. One of the main things that they learned was that our calling and election is all of God. It is God who calls, and it is God who elects us to eternal life. Your calling and election is not your decision, but God's decision for you. He chose us before the foundation of the world, before we had done anything good or evil. He did so not because of us, but because of His good pleasure. But then what about 2 Peter 1, verse 10? What does it mean then to confirm your calling and your election? Did we get it all wrong? Is it up to us, after all, whether or not we truly are God's elect? 2 Peter 1, verse 10 also says that if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. Those qualities, it's clear, are the things that Peter mentioned in verses 5 through 7, that we supplement to our faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, and love. But isn't that pushing back to the idea that election unto salvation will only be ours if we do our part? Isn't that pushing us back into the idea that somehow what Christ did wasn't enough? That in the end our calling and election is up to us after all, and that you can only be sure of your salvation, you can only be sure of your election if you are good enough to the very end. And isn't that the problem that many of us have? The problem that we don't know if we're good enough. The problem that we don't know that we are not good enough. The problem that we know that if our salvation was left up to us, we would undoubtedly perish. How then can we be sure of our election? What Peter means when he instructs us to confirm our calling and our election is not that you need to somehow convince God of your election. God knows already those who are His elect, and not one of them will be lost. What he means is that you need to be sure of this for yourself. And that's what we're learning when we read 2 Peter 1, verse 10, in the context of the Bible chapter. 2 Peter begins with a description of what God has already done for us and in us through Jesus Christ. He's given us faith. His power has given us all things that we need for a life of godliness. He's given us, as verse 4 says, His precious and very great promises, so that through them you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. And verse 5 says, For this very reason, because of what God has given you, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue and knowledge and self-control and so forth. And verse 10, be even more diligent to do these things so that you will never fall and so make your call and election sure. The Bible is clear that if you do not do these things, then you are not living as one who has escaped the corruption of this world. You are not living as one who is saved by Christ Jesus. But when you do these things, when you're diligent, when you make every effort to grow in faith and love and godliness, then you will never stumble. Then you will see and experience the fruit of one who is in Christ. And then you will never stumble. Then you will be assured that you belong to God in Jesus Christ. Then you'll be assured of your salvation. So, the way to be sure of your election is to begin with the promises of God, believing that through these promises you have the forgiveness of sin and are united to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then knowing that, to make every effort to grow in Christ, to bear fruit for God, to supplement or to add to your faith virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. And if you practice these qualities, you will be sure of your calling and your election. If you do these things, you will never fall. It is with this in mind that I wish to direct your attention to the assurance of our election as we have confessed together in chapter 1, articles 12 and 13 of the Canons of Dort. I read God's word to you under this theme. The assurance of your election is to be found in Jesus Christ. With 2 points. First, being sure of your election. And secondly, living sure in your election. So firstly, being sure of your election. One question that deeply disturbs many godly saints is the question, but am I really saved? Am I really one of God's elect? The Arminians ask this question because he really doesn't know the answer. The Arminians believe that you cannot know for certain until you die whether or not you are truly one of God's elect. You can't know, they say, because ultimately your election, it relies on yourself. It's up to you. All you can do is try to keep on holding on to Jesus. Keep on believing and keep trying not to backslide until the very end. This, of course, brothers and sisters, is a very sad way to live. There's no real assurance here. There's no conviction. There's no quiet confidence that you are truly saved. But there are also Reformed believers who struggle with the question of whether or not they are elect as well. For some, the struggle is because they've lived a very sinful life. They've committed one or more very serious sins. The Canons of Dort talks more about this in chapter 5. Others wonder because they lose sight of the gospel and of the fact of our entire salvation is of Christ from beginning to end. Although they agree in principle that you are saved by grace alone, through faith in Christ alone, in practice, they end up thinking that they have to do more in order to be saved. And then there are others who set aside the clear teaching and promise of God and instead search for some sort of special feeling or quiet voice whispering into their souls that they are indeed one of God's elect. And then, when their feelings come and go, their assurance that they are one of God's elect also comes and goes. But the Bible teaches us that God's children can be sure of their election to salvation consider the following Bible verses. Job 19, the verses 25 to 27. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself. And my eyes shall behold, and not another. My heart faints within me. For all his suffering, and for all his questions about where God was and what God was doing, Job was assured. He was absolutely confident in his standing with God. And then we have Luke 10, verse 20. Do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And Romans 8, the verses 31 to 33. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. And Romans 8, verses 38 to 39. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Apostle Paul is sure nothing can separate him from the love of God in Christ Jesus. He is, and he always will be, one of God's elect. In 1 John 4, verse 13, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And 2 Peter 1, the verses 1 and 2, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect, exiles of the dispersion, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. And then in 2 Peter 1, the verses 3 to 5, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. All these Bible verses speak of assurance. From these and many other Bible texts, it is clear that the saints both in the Old Testament and the New Testament could be, and indeed were, sure of their election. And the reason that they could be so sure was because their starting point was not in themselves, but it was in Jesus Christ. That's where we are to start, with the promise that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And with the promise that the Lord Jesus Christ gave in John 10, verse 28, that I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. That's where we need to start when we speak about assurance of election, with God and the sure promise of our union with Christ. To paraphrase what John Calvin wrote in his Institutes, since we are elect in Christ, it stands to reason that we will also find the assurance of our election in Christ. Calvin also wrote, how insane are we to seek outside of him what we have already obtained in him and can find in him alone. And therefore, we don't look for the assurance of our election in ourselves, on the basis of our own works or of our own worthiness, of our own faith. We don't even look for the assurance of our election in a voice whispering those things in our hearts. But we find assurance of our election in the promises of God. When you are asking yourself whether or not you are one of God's elect, you need to ask yourself another question in order to answer this one. Ask yourself, do I know my sin? Do I really understand my need for a Savior? And do I believe that God has given me the one and only Savior, Jesus Christ? Romans 10, the verses 9 and 10 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. And if you are saved, then you are one of God's elect. And so, the way to be sure of your election is to find that assurance in Jesus Christ and in the sure promise of the gospel that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. But there's more to be said, because we might still doubt. We might still wonder, and we might still struggle with our assurance of election. Or else we might not doubt, and we might not wonder about our election, because we've deluded ourselves into thinking that all is well with our salvation, when in fact, it is not well. And so the Canons of Dort gives us further instruction, that we might be assured of our election, not by prying into the secret and hidden things of God, but by observing in us the sure fruits of election. And that brings us to our second point, living sure in your election. There is a clear reason as to why the Apostle Peter calls his readers to be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. That's because there were so many so-called Christians who were not Christian at all. When Peter wrote his second letter, the false teachers that he was faced with were saying that it didn't matter what you did, and it didn't matter how you lived. These people, Peter wrote in 2 Peter 1, had denied the master who bought them. In chapter 2, verse 15 adds, had forsaken the right way and gone astray. They were the ones, 2 Peter 2, verse 20 says, that having escaped the defilement of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them. They'd fallen back into a life of sin, with the result being that the last state was worse than the first. The false teachers that Peter was writing against did not seem to understand what effect the gospel must have on our lives. To the contrary, they spoke and acted as though once you've been saved, you could live. You could just do whatever you pleased. Peter didn't mince his words when he wrote in 2 Peter 2, verse 14 and 15, that they had eyes full of adultery, insatiable for sin. They entice unsteady souls. They have hearts trained in greed. Accursed children, forsaking the right way, they have gone astray. But we should not just look at others. We need to think about this for ourselves too. Because we too are in danger of falling into one of two dangers. The first danger is that we go back to trying to save ourselves, to being busy doing this or that, to feel accepted by others, and to even feel accepted by God himself. But the other danger is that we reject this. We also reject God's claim on our lives. But the Bible teaches us that we were saved for a purpose. We're saved to bear fruit. We are saved by Christ's blood so that we might be renewed by his Holy Spirit to serve him, to live for him, to grow in him, and to be more like him. And if we do that, then we will grow in our salvation and we'll be assured of our election. But if we don't do that, then we are scorning the blood of Christ. We are making light of what he has done for us, and we are rejecting the new life that he has called us to live. And that's dangerous. Because if we are living like that, then we are living like one who's not saved at all. 2 Peter 3, verse 17 says, you therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability. What we need to understand is that the gospel must change us. And when you see and experience the change that comes from a true faith in Jesus Christ, then you will also be assured of your salvation, and you will never fall. And that's what Peter's getting at when he writes in 2 Peter 1, verse 10, "Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall." When Peter says here that you will never fall, he does not mean that you will never sin, but that you will be firmly established, that you will be unmoved, that you will be fully assured that you are a child of God, elected, chosen to eternal life. And you will receive this assurance, 2 Peter 1 verse 10 says, if you practice these qualities. And those things that you do, that you are to do, are the things that Peter spells out in verses 5 to 7, where he tells you, supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. The Bible never suggests that godliness isn't all that important. The Bible never suggests that it's okay to just go with the flow. The Bible never suggests that since Jesus did it all for you, it is up to you as to how you are to live your life, and that nobody can tell you what to do. No, since God has given you what you need for a life of godliness, you must be godly. You must do what you can to grow in knowledge, to develop self-control, to persevere in godliness. You are to spend time with your brothers and sisters in Christ and be kind to them, to love them, to help them. You are to love both God and your neighbor and to grow in that love. These are not suggestions. These are not options for the Christian. You need to do these things. You were not saved to be selfish, but Christ saved you to serve Him, to live for Him, to praise Him, and to serve your neighbor, to love them and be a blessing to them. That's what you must do in order that you might never stumble and fall. So, Peter is telling us very clearly that what you do has a direct impact on your assurance of election. If you practice these qualities, you will never fall. But on the other hand, if you don't practice these qualities, if you don't supplement your faith in this way, then you will stumble and you will fall. You will be ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 8. You will be one who is nearsighted and blind, one who has forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Verse 9. And now, having understood this, let us turn back to chapter 1, article 12 of the Canons of Dort. The elect, in due time, though in various stages and in different measure, are made certain of their eternal and unchangeable election to salvation. They attain this assurance, however, not by inquisitively prying into the hidden and deep things of God, but by observing in themselves, with spiritual joy and holy delight, the unfailing fruits of election pointed out in the Word of God. Such as a true faith in Christ, a childlike fear of God, a godly sorrow for their sins, and a hunger and thirst for righteousness. And Article 13. The awareness and assurance of this election provide the children of God with greater reason for daily humbling themselves before God, for adoring the depths of His mercies, for cleansing themselves, and for fervently loving Him in turn, who first so greatly loved them. It is therefore not at all true that this doctrine of election and the reflection on it makes them lax in observing the commands of God or falsely secure. In the just judgment of God, this usually happens to those who rashly presume to have the grace of election, or idly and boldly chatter about it, but refuse to walk in the ways of the elect. I trust that it is clear to you that how you live your life as a Christian is very important. Don't be surprised if your faith is weak. Don't be surprised if your faith fails. Don't be surprised if the assurance of your election isn't there if you do not make use of the means of grace. If you do not regularly come to church, if you don't open your Bible every day, if you don't grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and in godliness, if you do not partake of the sacraments, if you do not make every effort to be a living member of Christ and of His church. But when you do turn to God, when you do give all diligence to supplement your faith with a life of godliness, and when you grow and increase in this, then you will remain firm in your faith, and your call of election will be made sure, and this will be a blessing to you. It will be a blessing to you because you will be filled with thanks and gratitude towards God. It will be a blessing because it will make you want to know Christ even more and to love Him and to serve Him even more than you do already. Indeed, being sure of your salvation can never make you careless or godless. Rather, it will encourage you to grow and increase in the Lord Jesus even more. You will no longer be grasping for what this world has to offer, but you will be longing for what God holds out to you. Do you see how important it is, therefore, brothers and sisters, boys and girls, to be even more diligent to make your call of election sure? Yes, it does take effort. Yes, it does mean dying to yourself and living in and for your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But what a blessing it is to increasingly have that assurance of your election to salvation in this life. Amen.